Good morning, Andy. It's time for you to start the radio show. Have a good one.
Inch by inch, row by row, and enough buzz makes your garden grow. All it takes is organic know-how to make some fertile ground. Inch by inch, box by box, Andy Lopez makes your garden rock. With Invisible Gardener Radio Talk and a panic, it's organic.
Me and the boys come to Earth to do some fishing. While here, we listen to BBSRadio.com. Don't panic, it's organic.
Don't you just love that? I like it. It's my favorite, one of my favorite ads, me and the boys. It actually has to do with, I do another show called WTF, and it has to do by these the boys he's talking about. Actually, they do come to Earth, and so they're doing a show. They've been doing it for quite a few years now. It's called WTF, and it has to do, it's not what you think, but you can think whatever you want to, but it has to do with them coming to Earth and fishing and having a good time, and now they can't come here anymore because the computer says, do not eat, pollute it, do not touch it, do not touch the water, do not breathe the air. It's like, holy cow, you should listen to it. It's on another station, and I might do a rebroadcast here sometime. Me worry. I'm just working on it right now. I started working on it last night. I just get up and didn't have much to do. I'm not sleeping much these days anyway, so I put this one together. It's only 10 minutes long. It's kind of cool. I have several other songs I'll be playing in the background and everything. You're listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic with your host Andy Lopez, the incredible Invisible Gardener. I'd like to tell you who I am or anything. You should know all that by now. You should also know what number to call me and how to get a hold of me. But if you're new at this, tough. Sorry, I didn't say that. if you are listening to the show and you don't know anything about me, there's plenty of information up on the station there, BBSRadio.com, or you can find lots of information about me on InvisibleGardener.com. I've gotten quite a bit of emails from folks who are telling me that my website is not functioning, they can't find it or anything. And that's very strange because, see, they get the email right, but they didn't get the website right. So, you know, Andy Lopez at InvisibleGardener.com. I say Gardener on purpose because a lot of times people say InvisibleGardener.com and they spell it like James Gardner. It's not James Gardner. It's Gardener, like the gardener you hire to take care of your garden. He's an of garden, right? Of garden. And you would think, if you know, they got the email right, they would find, they would figure out the website, but they type Gardener wrong up in the website, and the website is not going to, doesn't play games with you. You have to get it right. So it's InvisibleGardener.com. There's also, if you're new here and you want to know what to call and talk to me, there's the 800 number, which is 888-627-6008. They call that a toll-free line. And then the direct line, which I'm assuming means you're closer. We both are direct, but I guess, I'm not sure. Anyway, the direct line is 323-744-4831. Of course, we're using Skype here, so you can always call BBS Radio PR. And the email I told you is andylopez@invisiblegardener.com. That's how you can, one of the ways you can get in touch with me if you have a question. We have a contest, you know, as you may or may not know, but the contest is ongoing. This Saturday, today's, is the last Saturday of the, the last Saturday of July. Let me make sure, Craig, there might be another Saturday in here, right? There is, and maybe not. I've been so busy, guys. You guys don't know what I've been doing. So let's see. It is the last Saturday of July of this month. So then that means that this is your last chance to get in the contest. Every month is different. This month, I haven't decided entirely anything. Addition. Sometimes I throw stuff in, but basically, you're going to get my Don't Panic. It's organic print version of my book, right? And then you're also going to get a lifetime membership in the club. What that lifetime membership means is that you'll also get all the other 22 books or an ebook form. You'll get access to them. And then this one, of course, Don't Panic, It's Organic, will also be in ebook form. And then I might throw in a few things. Sometimes what I usually do is I'll throw in some, like for example, I've been throwing in the Grower's Kit. The Grower's Kit is Invisible Gardener's Grower's Kit. Basically, it's 5 pounds of my rock dust blend. You can buy the rock dust blend by itself. And it also is a quart of the super seaweed, the microbiological activator is an invention of mine. That's a quart. Now, the quart is normally $150, see, for a quart. And the rock dust is $49.95. I should say $50. My accountant says, hey, $49.95, they'll buy more than they would if you call it $50. I'm going, really? I don't think people are crazy. You know, you understand the difference. But I guess a penny saved in this case is five pennies. I don't know. It's $49.95, but the Grower's Kit, I sell it for $100 even, so you save $100 that way too. But that's, I might be throwing, okay, all right, I'm going to throw in the Grower's Kit into the winner's circle there, okay? So whoever gets, it's interesting too, before I forget, everybody that enters will get a free lifetime membership. Normally a lifetime membership, I call it a digital membership, is $20. Everything's digital, you get all the, if you want to join, and you want the printed version of the book, then it's $55, that's $20 for the book. See, right? Did I just say that right? Yes, there's $55 for regular membership, and it's $35 for senior citizens. You're paying $20 for the book, and it's $35 for the lifetime membership. Or if you're a senior citizen, you only pay $15 for a lifetime membership. See, right? Plus, you have to pay shipping. Since you get a printed version of the book, you pay shipping. If you're a digital, you don't have to pay any shipping. Okay, so everybody wins in that sense, okay? So that's invisiblegardener.com. And I'm assuming, too, I don't know, maybe I can't see anything over here. What's going on? Let's see, like this. I'm using my Mac over here. My Mac does different things than the PC does. I think it's spinning at it. I don't know. Anyway, the Skype acts differently, and instead of the screen going blank, it has this pumping heart, and it does things. So today I'm talking. So here's what's going on. It's very interesting. I'm gonna just pass it on to you guys. So I'm working on I just turned 70 about 6 months ago. Clap, clap, yay, yay, yay. And I find myself getting a job because I was supposed to be, I'm actually retired. I was supposed to be retired by now. But because of particular things going on in my family, my wife's having a rough time now. She's 87, and it's a matter of, you know, keeping her comfortable and happy. She had a hard time with her eyes. You know, we had the eye operation. It's all a long story. Keeps me busy. But at any rate, I have to pay for a nurse. They're very expensive. Cost more, you know. This Medicare thing doesn't cover a lot of things. And on top of that, I'm a veteran. You would think that my wife would be covered, but she's not, which is interesting. So I have to cover it, so it means I'm working. And I got a job at a farm. It's a big, giant farm in Malibu. And the lady bought out a bunch of other farms and putting one big one together. Really cool. And I've been going up there and working on different systems that we want to get established on the farm. All of you will find it very, very interesting because it's what should be done on a farm. She has horses. She'll have animals. There's lots of fruit trees up there. And recently when it rained, and I'm going to be doing a cover crop, which is one of the things that I'm going to be talking about today, is how you can heal the earth, right? How you can heal the soil. I'm also going to be going over a ground cover, right? A ground cover crop, right? And I'm also going to be going over some type of what's happening with me in terms of the compost production and this discussion I'm having with people currently about animal manure. Okay, so I'm going to start off with just talking to you a little bit about my currently what's going on with me in the farm. Is, you know, this everything got burnt down, so they're rebuilding, they're building a house here, doing things like that. So one of the things that I'm doing right off the bat, there are a whole bunch of them, and I will tell you too. I figured out the best thing to do with my show is just to tell you what's going on, right? What's happening, and you'll find that very interesting. Along other than the fact, of course, that I do, I'm here to answer your questions. So if you have a question, feel free to call. The engineer will pipe you right through. Okay. Otherwise, you can email me, and I'll be happy to answer the question through the email. So on the farm. Recently, we had all these rains. It rained a lot, and therefore a lot of things just flowed down the hillside, massive river flowing to the ocean. And then after a while, it was all gone. And so what I've started to do is, one of the first things I do on a place is I look at the energy flow. So water is a form of energy, so I look at how water flows through the property, where it gathers, and how it, what it does, okay? So my idea would be is now to, and what they did over there too is when they were working on this one house, and it must have been a really bad problem there, because they made all this cement, like a little place where the water literally builds up almost 6 foot tall, and it runs off and it spills over and runs down the mountainside. And so that's how much water gets captured when it rains, and especially if it rains a lot, you have massive water flowing. And so part of my idea is to slow down the water, make little lakes, have the water fill up, and then overflow, fill up, overflow, fill up, overflow, fill up, rather than rushing, to slow it down, give it time to soak into the ground. And so it's going to have a series of lakes and little ponds where the water would, as it rains, it'll flow down, fill up, flow down, fill up. And not just having the idea is not just to have the barren soil there, but to grow a cover crop. Here's where the cover crop comes in. And to me, a cover crop, of course, you can have a cover crop in your raised bed, or a cover crop in your garden, right? So I'm going to be doing something similar to that, but on the soil, on the property. And to me, a cover crop could be any number of things that want to grow on there that will hang on to the roots, that are not invasive in terms of poisonous, because there are also animals, horses. I don't want a horse eating something. But there are certain things that we can grow. And you'd be amazed at the wide variety of what I'm going to grow as a cover crop. Let's see, I have my notes here. Let's see, my notes are around here somewhere. I have notes. You know, believe it or not, I do notes, right? I do notes. It's not a crisis. Oh, I know where I did. It's over there. I think I'm going to take a second. Just give me a second. You hear my footprint going, ha, 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 ha. I'm going over here, see? I'm reaching into my magic wander bag. I'm going, oh, my notes. There are my notes. Yeah, see my notes. Okay, I'm coming back. Now, here I am. Did Joe miss me? Oh, you did. What the heck is that? Now I'm getting, my computer is giving me notifications. I wish it would stop doing that. See, look, I told you to stop doing that. Now you keep, oh dear. Anyway, so here's some of the, I don't have a list of the cover crops. Okay, I have a list of plants that I'm going to be putting on the as a cover crop. They're not really cover crops. For example, blueberries, raspberries, spinach. I can grow beets. You can grow beets as a cover crop. Garlic makes an excellent cover crop in certain areas. You can grow. I'm actually doing a Garlic of the World Club, and I'm going to be ordering a wide variety of garlic from around the world, from black garlic to purple garlic to elephant garlic to all kinds of garlic from Russia, garlic from China. One of the things I'm doing is getting, so we have a whole bunch of raised beds, so I'm going to turn them into all types of garlic production. And the garlic can be planted all throughout the property as a way to control gophers and control other creatures. So I'm going to be doing a, so the cover crop would be like, you know, anything from wheat to alfalfa, to buckwheat, to mung beans, to sunflowers, to, and the idea is that they will grow, establish themselves, and then become part of the ecosystem in terms of catching, slowing the water, catching it, and absorbing it. There are a variety of other plants that we can grow as a cover crop that would love this environment. And believe it or not, one of them is hemp. In fact, you can also grow pot, but that's a little bit difficult to grow pot as a cover crop and not expect people to go out there and cover your crop. hemp is an excellent cover crop in the sense that you can plant it in the field and it has deep roots and it would hold the soil and it would give back to the soil a variety of minerals, iron and stuff like that, and would help encourage the soil to become alive. So one of the things that I'm doing with in order to get a cover crop established, right, and which also goes along the lines of how to heal the soil, because what I have to do is to actually heal the soil. It's very barren there. It hasn't been taken care of. Normally in nature, there's something growing on it, whether it be the oak trees or whether it be and there will be a wide variety of things throughout the year coming and going, because that's the way it works. If something will grow or die, something else will grow and die, and depending on the rain, some things will get established. But because of what we've done to nature and the way we've interrupted it, we had this fire comes to burn everything, right? And so there's the system is not working the way it normally would. So what I want to do is I want to bring the soil back to encourage it to be alive, to hold water, to have organisms living in there, to have earthworms in there, and to have a cover crop that things will grow, maybe even useful to be feeding to the animals. Lots of things that we can do with a variety of crops, because you don't have to plant something that you don't use. But initially, what I'm going to do is plant something that will grow in the soil. When it rains, it'll water itself, and throughout the rest of the year, you don't have to be paying attention to it. Throughout the year, it'll get better and better and better so that it'll survive the drought, for example, have deeper root systems. You have to find the right type of crops that will last long enough to help. If you plant something and they die right away, it doesn't work. So I'll be experimenting with a variety of different cover crops that are normally known as cover crops that you normally would use as a cover crop. And I'll be going over those more as to what the different types of cover crops you can use on your property, because I think a lot of people would like to have that information. And my computer keeps saying, you have to read this, this is very important. And it's like the news, right? I said, I'm not really interested in the news right now, but that's what it wants to do. Kind of weird. So I have to sort of just ignore it and just leave it alone, you know. So one of the things that I do, that I would do to the soil in order to get the cover crop to grow, right, in order to get the cover crops to go, you have to, I have to really basically inoculate the soil, okay? And in order to inoculate the soil, the easiest way would be to learn how to make a compost, right, that has a wide variety of trace minerals in it and bacteria in it, to then, you know, you basically feed the two together, right? You add the rock dust to the manure and the compost. You make one big happy family that then is, inoculates the soil, right? So that's where the manure comes in, and that's where this other interesting scenario comes in the sense that, for example, I was talking to folks at the city, and they say, well, you can't put any manure down on the property because if it rains, the rain's going to wash it all down into the ocean or to some neighbor's place. It's going to be a problem. And I said, well, it's not manure I'm going to be putting down. It's compost. I said, at what point is compost okay and manure not? You know, when does manure become okay by calling it compost, right? When you actually have made compost out of the manure. And that's what I'm trying to explain to them. It's no longer manure, it's compost. I can go to any place and buy compost and dump it on the soil. You don't have any problem with that. And so I'm trying to work it out with them. That's the basic idea is, you know, if I can go to a place and buy compost, which is basically either made out of manure. You know, now what I think about it, when I go to, I ordered a truckload of soil. It had no manure in. So I just realized that they don't use manure in there, and that's one of the reasons why I don't particularly like compost in the stores, for example, store-bought compost you buy in the bags, or even compost that you have delivered. You go to these soil places because they're really selling soil. When they call it compost, it's really not exactly the same compost that the good old farmers are using. That you should be making, because it's missing the manure in it. And now that I think about it, this has been going on for a long time, is that each city has their own ordinance about how you deal with manure. And you have to dump it, you have to take it away and treat it as manure rather than be turned into compost. And that actually is the main problem with manure, and we have this E. coli outbreaks. And that is because the people who have cattle do not know how to make compost or are not permitted to make compost because of the laws which say you have to get rid of the manure. Even though what's really happening is that people, these companies, just have big piles of the manure out there sitting there not doing anything, right? And that's how it rains and it gets in the... And that's a problem. And ideally, they should turn that manure into a compost, and you can. And if you do it right, you have compost that has no trace of the manure in it whatsoever. So what I have to do is to basically convince the city that the compost that we make will not have any manure in it, that it's truly compost, and that the compost, everything will stay on the soil, on the ground. If it does rain, everything washes off. So yeah, it's going to be a big problem. Everything washes off. Anything you put on there will get washed off by the rains. So it has to be a scenario where you have to grow something. You have to grow a living type of compost. And you have to grow something that can handle the rain, that won't get washed away, especially in the lower basins there where it gets really full of water, lots of running water through it, which will, it could be knee-high, 6 foot in certain places. So I'm working on different types of plants that I could grow there. But the real problem is, how do we convert the animal manure into a viable compost product? And the answer, there's actually several different ways, but the problem also lies in the fact that you have 20 horses, you have lots and lots and lots of manure. On a regular basis, every week I was noticing how much to take out is basically a dumpster full. A dumpster full is probably like 10 yards, maybe 5 to 10 yards, something like that, 5 yards, because it's not a full giant dumpster. 5 yards every week comes out. And, if I had the property and the money, you could set up a system where that manure can be properly composted to the point where there's no problem with any E. coli whatsoever. But that takes a little bit of money in terms of building a unit to do that, right? Because, you can build a structure, and it also takes labor. You have to learn how to, one of the problems these people were having is that they would make a pile and let it sit there. And how they made the pile was they took the manure and they blended it with the local soil and then they covered it. That is not exactly going to make a good, decent compost. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to set up a way there's three ways to I'm going to set up for compost production. But the scenario is that all of this takes energy and time and people doing something. The compost is not going to get up and do itself to a certain degree. You have to have some energy involved. So I'm working out the systems, but at the same time, I have to go over with everybody and say, okay, this is what it takes to do that. Are we up for that, or are you guys just not going to follow through? And let me go through it. You'll see what I'm talking about. So one of the systems is the actual pile method. You take compost and you pile it up. And ideally, you should layer it. There's a carbon to nitrogen ratio that you want to get. I'm not going to tell you what that is. You should all know what it is by now. 20 to 1. And the there's a mixture that you should go into this mix in order to make it properly. A lot of people misunderstand why they make compost. They think it's a recycling thing. They think I will make compost to recycle my kitchen waste, right, and stuff like that. Now, that's part of it, but that's not the real reason why we make compost. The real reason why we make compost is to heal the soil, help the soil recover, help the soil. That's the real reason why we do it. That's the real reason why I do it. The reason why I make compost all those years, and I'm not making any more now, and I'm getting, I have a couple of different sources of good, rich compost, but it's not the same thing as when you make it yourself, when I was making it from all the different types of animal manure. I was making it from llama manure, which is basically just like rabbit manure pellets. I've been making it from rabbit manure. I had, at one point, I was getting elephant manure. Of course, you get chicken manure, you get horse manure, you get cow manure. Each one of them have different microbial life in them, different bacteria, different enzyme, different microbes. Different, they have different names entirely, and they do different things. They specialize in different areas. That's what the whole biodynamic system is about. One of them is you get a stomach of a cow and you learn how to make a poultice from certain herbs and plants and other things in order to provide them the minerals and stuff like that. Because if you understand how plants work, you'll see that they all have different things that they specialize in. And what makes them so special is basically the microbes that those plants are attached to, or rather the microbes that are attached to the plants. Right? And so and they're different. A cow's stomach is very different than an elephant's stomach. And yet, interestingly enough, the richest compost comes from the two animals. Okay, one is from the earthworm, and one is from the elephant, the smallest and the largest. They both, earthworm castings is one of the richest manure that you can buy because the earthworm breaks down everything down to minerals, so it has all these minerals. It's really rich in minerals, and it's also acid pH. And the elephant goes in and goes out, and the stomach will digest and break everything down for you. And when you put it in the ground, the bacteria and the trace minerals are ready to go. And I thought that was interesting. So I had made a compost using elephant. My experience with elephant manure was at the Barnum and Bailey. The Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus, they have a place in Sarasota, I think it's Sarasota or somewhere in northern Florida. And they called me once and they said, you know, we heard your show, and you talk about elephant manure, you have a local elephant you get stuff from. Would you like to get come and visit us and tell us what we should do with this stuff? Maybe you may want to haul it away. I was hauling away for a while there. That was an interesting experience too. And because it's very heavy, you can stick a shovel in it, you can't move it, you know. But when it hardens, it's even worse. but the elephant manure, it's very, very rich. It has a certain type of microbes, just like horse manure has a certain type of microbe, or the chicken manure has a certain type of microbe. We humans have our own special certain type of microbes, because our stomachs, we evolved from the soil, believe it or not. The Star Trek has this one episode called Bags of Water. They call it humans are bags of water. Well, we're basically a bag. And what we did was we decided a long time ago that we were no longer going to be attached to the soil like trees are. We're going to get up and move. And we figured out, okay, let's make a bag and take it with us. And through the years, we have evolved into this human being, right, that has this bag that we take around with the microbes he takes with you. And they're not identical microbes. They each have evolved along different lines and specific, you know, specializations that they do. But basically, that's the idea. And I have a show I might do a rerun here sometimes called The Doctor and the Garden and the Gardener. No, it's called The Body and the Garden. I always get it a little mixed up. That's wrong too. It's called the I'll get it straight yet. The Body and the Garden. Okay, The Body and the Garden. Sometimes I call it The Doctor and the Gardener Show. Right? And it's where I have the doctors come and talk to me on the show about the microbiome, which is what they call the stomach, everything that grows inside the stomach, and how interesting it is on the relationship with the soil microbiome that grows it, you know, the mycology in the soil. That's what got me, you know, one of the things I learned is that, you know, if my stomach and my microbes in my stomach are not happy and functioning correctly, I'm not going to be happy and functioning correctly. And their job really is to give me the food and the minerals, basically the minerals that I need. Their job is to take everything, food down, break it down into the component, pass it out to where it's supposed to go, and the minerals is what I want. It's the same thing with the microbes in the soil. They have to break it down, pass out the minerals and the food to the plants and everything that's in, connected to them. And anyway, we decided to pack up and be able to move around, whether we're animals, right, birds, all kinds of other things that are no longer attached to the soil, but we are very well attached in lots of different ways to that soil. Everything you eat comes from there, not from the air. So I learned myself, and then I teach the law of cause and effect. And so this comes down to, so when somebody contacts me about a sick tree, right, or whatever thinks is wrong on their property, it always 1,000% comes back to the soil. Even if you're in a container, it's still the soil in the container. Or if you do hydroponics, then it would be like the liquid soil. Hydroponics is another issue, something different. You're trying to do hydroponics for organics, and they want to be certified organic. The certification, organic certification, people say, no, this is for soil certification. You don't have soil, so you're not going to get organic certification. That's an interesting thing too, because, you know, hydroponics, when you think about it, can be done organically and also can be done conventionally, chemically. And so my super seaweed, for example, was made for hydroponics. It's totally organic products. But there are other things that can be used from Miracle-Gro to whatever, right, in hydroponics. So anyway, I've learned that in order to heal this tree, or in order to heal myself, I have to have a functioning tummy, a functioning stomach. See? It's really as simple as that. So I've learned to deal with the law of cause and effect. It's a short-term and a long-term solution to everything. See? And the long-term is exactly that, long-term. It ain't going to be overnight. And there's those things that you have to do, and those are the soil. That's the soil. You try to heal the soil. You can't do something right now. Yeah, all you could do now is start to, you know, stop the bleeding like you do for a medic. As a medic in the service, the first thing I got to do is, what's the most important? Do you hear that little bell? What's the most important thing that I need to do for this patient? If he's bleeding, stop the bleeding, hemorrhaging, whatever is happening, that's critical, that needs to be stopped, whatever way is necessary to do that. That's a short-term solution. So, you know, if a tree is being attacked by ants or attracted by a disease or something's wrong with it in terms, let's see what's wrong with it and deal with that right away, because that's not the real answer to it. That's just the immediate solution, thing we have to deal with immediately, right? So, and then the long-term solution is exactly in the body. If something's wrong with my body, I have to say, okay, I need to eat better. I need to exercise better. I need to stop doing that particular thing which causes the problem to do. I need to exercise, like what's going on with me right now, for example. I'm having dental work that's going on for 3 years, and I'm having issues. I have to take care of my family and all that stuff. Well, I get really busy. I'm working more than ever before, and of course, the dental work doesn't help. When you have dental work and you have to take antibiotic, you set off an atomic bomb in your stomach. I'm going, whoa, I've just destroyed every living creature in there that I've been nursing all my life. There goes all the families of microbes I've been taking care of forever. They go poof. And then when you eat, then food goes down in there, and there's nobody there to break it down for you, to digest it, to make it work properly. Right? And so That's what's happening with me on that level. And I've learned, okay, long-term solutions. I still have to have another operation, another set of antibiotics, which would set off another bomb. It takes years and years to recover. You're lucky if you recover at all. So that's another long story. I found you have to get the right probiotics. You have to eat the right foods. You have to do the right thing. Of course, ideally, you shouldn't do that in the first place. I mean, they gave me the bottle. You have to finish the whole bottle of my antibiotics. I only did a third of the bottle. I said, heck with it. I said, I'm not going to get infected. If I do, I'll deal with it. And I'm lucky I didn't, because what do? You have to... What if I didn't do the whole bottle? Well, that's why you got infected. We had to cut your head off, right? So it's a tough one. Then they're going to do it again. It's just barely getting me. I'm down to 148. I was down to 146, and lately I've gained 2 pounds. And that's because I got this really cool app that says calorie in, calorie out. You're going to gain. You have to get a certain amount, of the food level. Otherwise, you use it up, So. I'm working on that, but those are long-term solutions that I have to work on a regular basis to attain a certain goal down the road. And some of the immediate ones, of course, is I need to take care of myself immediately. So that's why I'm on I eat 3 times a day now, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And I also need to drink water, lots of liquids. So these are things that are ongoing, that are continuing. But if there's something wrong immediately, if I have a headache or something, aspirin does immediate care. There are a bunch of other different things that can be done immediately. It's the same thing with the soil. I found that it takes years and years and years to get the soil back together again, literally, to get the soil functioning. And a lot of people come. I had experience with one lady. She'd been listening to my show, and she had me come to her house, and I said, okay, this is what I do. Once a month I come and I'll do some, my magic stuff to it. I will do my spraying, because the spraying basically is a super seaweed, but it's a blend of different microorganisms, a blend of different trace mineral sources, and all of which I'm happy to go over with, because it's things I've developed over the years myself, and I'm happy to pass on the information. Trace minerals are key to it, see, so I provide trace minerals and two different forms, slow release and fast release. Fast release, wham, they get it right away. That's because I'm foliar spraying it to them. They absorb it through their skins, through the trunks, and they get that trace metals into their body immediately. See? And the other way is a short-term solution. Long-term, it takes a while for it to break down. So that's where you get the rock dust. I get different types of rock dust. Even the rock dust, I get two different types, because there is a... fine mesh rock dust, which is around 200 mesh, right? And then there's a pelletized rock dust, which is basically compressed into tiny little pellets. That takes anywhere between 3 weeks to 3 months to start to break down. And even then it'll become the powder again. But it takes a good 2 or 3 months for it to break down. So it's a slow time release. And what happens with the pelletized, which I like, is because the microbe surrounds the pelletized, and they eat it. That's what they're going to eat. They'll have dinner for a while. And if they start to eat, they'll have more and more microbes will be in the soil. So initially, see, the microbes, they need a wide variety of conditions to survive in the soil. Okay? And so one of the things they need, like everybody else, they have to eat. If there's nothing there to eat, they'll die. See, that's one of the conditions you have to have there. You have to have a certain amount of moisture. You have to have a certain pH level. The microbes that I work with that are in the soil function within a certain pH level. And so if you don't know what pH is, look it up. But the pH level that the microbes function in is 6.5 to 6.8. That's the magic number. Okay. Anything above that, 6.9, 6.70, 7.1, 7.2, becomes more and more alkaline. The further away you get from the number, the less and less of a variety of these microorganisms you're going to find. Adversely or otherwise, I guess it's either adversely or conversely, or I was going to come up with a cool term, but it also is the other way around. So if you have 6.5 and you have 6.4, 6.3, 6.2, 6.1, that way it gets acid or more acid and acid, you have less and less of these microbes also. But in this range, you're going to have you should literally have a full blend of all the microbes that were normally found in that area. Also, too, to confuse matter a little bit, see, microbes are specific to each area, to specific to plants, and to specific to an area. So let's take an example. So I go to a person's home, like here in Malibu. Okay, I'll give a perfect example. Here in Malibu. In Malibu, we have the lady lives by the beach, so she has some palms. She has a stone pine tree. She has roses. She has bougainvilleas. She has frangipanis. And a few other, you know, ferns, a few other types of plants, okay? Now, all of those things are from different parts of the world. None of them are from right here, okay? The palm tree is not from California. It's from some part, different parts of the tropic, right? The frangipani is from Hawaii. It's another different part, but not from here. You know, the stone pine is not from here. You know, the roses are not from here. And also, too, each one of them have their own specific microbial niche that they're where they're from. But they're all now here. They all are now here. From wherever they're at, they're now either planted one reason or another. They're there, a mixture of them. Each of them having different type of microbial niche colonies in their root systems, and yet they're all supposed to, you know, live in this big colony. It's one of those things I was talking with recently. Some folks think, well, they're going to fight. They should be fighting each other out, right? The microbes are in the with the palm are going to fight with the microbes there in the on the roses, fighting out whoever wins, the other one dies. And that's not exactly the way it works. Okay, just because humans like to fight each other doesn't mean we do. So what happens is that they all communicate with each other, and they all learn to live together, and they form their own little niche. Okay, and so what I do is I try to bring a blend of each of these microbes from the different niches to then allow them to sort of evolve into their own niche. Okay? And so one of the things I learned that makes us function this way is mushrooms. And so I've grown up, I can give, in the early days, I used to give a walk in Putney, Vermont, a mushroom walk. It was not a mushroom walk, but there were tons of mushrooms growing in the forest everywhere. Tons and tons of different types of mushrooms, all kinds of really cool name. And I'm not going to reveal too much, but basically one of my favorite mushrooms was the Anamita muscaria mushroom. It's poisonous, but it's also done for religious and spiritual enlightenment. And I have done it, but I don't recommend it unless you know what you're doing. But one of the things I did when I gave a walk is I could tell what mushrooms are, what's functioning in the soil and in the ground, how it's functioning, how it's, the tree, you know, trees communicate with each other, okay? They don't, and they have different ways of communicating with each other. But the one way that they communicate with each other is through the mycelium network. I call it the interweb of the internet of the interweb, okay? The internet of the earth, okay, of the soil. And they don't just communicate with each other that way. They share their food resources. Okay? There are scientists that, there's a book called Do Trees Talk. I'm sorry, I don't know the name of the author. I probably have it not too far away from here. Let me see. Let's see now. Do Trees Talk? Let me see. Do I have it over here? Do Trees Talk? I think it's one of these trees. No, it's not that one there. That's not edited either. Well, I don't see it. Maybe I do. No, I don't see it. I lend books out a lot too, you know, so it's really, you know, they come and they go. I don't see it. No, almost got it there. No. Next time I'll look for it because I think you would love it. It's from a person in Germany. From a person in Germany, and I loved it because it's pretty much saying what I've been saying almost all my life, you know. And one of the things he says is that basically trees communicate in different ways. Yeah, okay, I know that. So they communicate through flowers, smell, right, color, you know. But the most important way is through the mycelium network. And they did studies. They found that there's one tree that was actually cut back and so forth. Was having a hard time surviving. And they were wondering, how come that tree can be growing like that. And they found out that the other trees were, there was nutrition going from other trees into this tree. And they did a dye thing, and the tree had to dye and everything, you know. And it just enforced what I believe is that the mycelium is the, I tell people that the mycelium is the, you know how they have, we have the chain of the food chain, right? Well, the mycelium is at the, and we think we're at the top of the food chain, but we're not. Guess who eats us when we die? The mycelium. If you, as assuming you get buried in the ground, if you were to decompose, that's what would happen. You would get eaten up. So mycelium is the very first gardener and the last gardener. Everything that's growing that you see around you is, she is growing. That mycelium is growing. She wants the best food for her. Therefore, she wants to make sure everybody else gets the best food too. Insects have evolved throughout the millions of years, right? They have evolved in cooperative work with the mycelium. The same thing with other creatures, because they find that things are healthier, and by healthier meaning better food for them. So all types of creatures have learned that this is better for me than to live in this environment where everything is connected like this together than to be in an environment that is not. And if you follow that, you'll also see how diseases and pests come about. Because it's also, I was going to say conversely, even though I'm probably saying it wrong, insects have evolved, excuse me, the opposite. Okay, certain types of insects have evolved the opposite way. Because these insects are predators. And so what they have evolved to say, okay, that tree is now sick enough for me to use it. It's now become food for me. See, right? You do that same thing with a wolf. The wolf says, that sheep over there is now weak enough or sick enough. I'm going to get it. And I've evolved over the millions of years to say, it's a lot easier to chase after that one than it is to chase after that one. Okay? What happens is that the insects are specific, just like the microbes are specific. They develop certain specific relationship with certain trees and certain environments. So when a certain tree gets sick, they know that, and it's time for them to do their job, which is basically either they can use it to have babies with, you know, to go there and say, here's our food source, honey, plant the eggs there and let the kids eat the plant, or they can use it as a food source to take for them or to take somewhere else. And the diseases have also evolved. They have also evolved to attach themselves to either a particular plant or a particular pest. Because they know if this bug's attached to that plant, I want to get to that plant, I'm going to attach myself to this bug. You see? And so, and then the disease follows the bug. Okay? And so if you understand this little dance that we have going here, and you see that the key to it, it's the health of the soil. If we have the healthy soil, then everything will get its vitamins and minerals, and the bugs will go looking for other places. You know, there are bugs that are basically, there's no such thing as good guys and bad guys, but there are bugs that do are beneficial for the plants. And then there are bugs that do nothing but attack the plants, eat it, take the juice, do whatever, that's their job. So they have two different types of jobs, right? They're different types of bugs. Like ladybugs are wonderful, see? There's lots of bugs that do good things to plants. Not all bugs are evil, and they do stuff like that, okay? And so, but it all keys into the health of the soil, right? And if the soil is healthy, then the trace minerals are made available to the plants. But, which you have to understand, it's called soil depletion. If you keep taking the trace minerals out, you don't put trace minerals back in, you're going to be running out of trace minerals. And normally in nature, we'll take human beings out of the picture. Normally in nature, nature is a very efficient recycler. She's really very good at recycling everything from the ocean, from the air, from the desert, from the sea, you name it, right? It gets recycled. The trace minerals gets recycled. Ice ages, you think ice age, there's a reason for the ice age. And one of the things that the ice age does is it crushes up rocks. It's called remineralization. It crushes these these rocks from all around the world into this fine powder, and then spreads it out around the world and makes sure everybody gets all these trace minerals. That's what the ocean does. That's what the atmosphere does. That's what everything does, recycles everything. Unfortunately, when you throw some junk in there and toxins, it's going to recycle that too. That's why we get radiation everywhere on the planet. We get plastic everywhere on the planet, right? So what we, and that's, so that's why it's important to, you know, do this. Right now, that we have this critical issue with climate change, right? And what we have done, we've managed to upset the normal climate, rotation of the climate's, you know, weather, right? And because we've made it so hot, things are melting. We have fresh water, more fresh water goes into the Gulf. You've heard this before, let me tell you before. It stops the Gulf Stream. We have a Gulf Stream because salt water sinks, salt water rises when it's cold and sinks when it's hot. So when, I thought I was chasing my cat. Maybe it is, I don't know. Okay, so when salt water gets cold, it sinks, it rises, and when it gets hot, it sinks. So it causes a rotation. No, is it? When cold water gets cold, it sinks. When it gets hot, it rises. Now, fresh water does not do that. So the Gulf is a rotation. It's called the Gulf Stream. The Gulf Stream is what causes the weather. So you disturb the Gulf Stream, you're going to disturb the weather. So what's going to happen is we're going to get hotter and hotter. It's going to eventually stop the Gulf Stream. When that happens, we're going to go to what's called an ice age. The last ice age was, it's called the Little Ice Age. It happened 500 years. And the previous before that was a warming period called the Medieval Warming Period. It lasted about 500 years. Just think of Europe cutting down the forest and the last, and just think of the last part of when you had that little 500-year ice age of Napoleon and the problem we had with all that snow and ice and winters, and same thing with the England when they had the battle. And think of the last of it was when Columbus was, think about Columbus crossing the Delaware, you'll see the icebergs. And that was only because they just cut down the forest in Europe. So imagine what was going to happen now. And so it's going to be longer than 500 years, the ice age. And I tell people, we already started the ice age. Haven't you noticed how colder and colder the winters are getting? And it all comes down to, in terms of healing the soil, because that's the secret right there of maintaining the balance. We've cut down so many trees that we don't really have. See, what do trees do? They take in carbon dioxide, they give off oxygen. What's happening with the earth heating up is that we're going to get more and more methane. There's methane coming up from beneath the earth now more and more than ever before off the coast of California. The permafrost is melting. You know, the earth used to be a methane planet, not an oxygen planet. And there's a bunch of different things that have to happen for it to change. And now we are erasing all that and going back to a methane planet. You know, because we can't really stop the pendulum now. Now that we've done all this, we have to either freeze it back up again or figure out a way to eat the methane and convert that into oxygen. Okay, that's what happened in essence. As this bacteria that used to that grew around the earth, that developed, loved methane, ate methane, and gave off oxygen. The scientists recently discovered the last remaining bacteria of this type, this organism of this type on the planet. They're trying to grow it now. They don't really have a lot of time to do that. We're genius. We're bound to figure out a way to solve the problem. But that's what's going on, what the farmers are doing in terms of farming, for example. When you do this destroy the soil holds carbon dioxide, carbon. It uses carbon to convert, carbonic acid, which then breaks down the minerals. And it's the same thing with the ocean. The ocean takes in the carbon and absorbs it into the ocean. And by damaging that, there's more carbon, gets hotter. And so, but also too, what's happening is we have disrupted our mineral intake. Humans are, and all living things are not getting all the trace minerals that they used to get. You're going to see all kinds of problems occurring. And it's all trace minerals deficient. That's the whole reason why we eat. We eat food to get trace minerals. One of the things, one of the shows I do is called Cosmic Gardening. The real reason why we have the trace minerals, you can say, okay, it's to build up your body, it's to, you know, get your body function, your muscles and all this stuff. Yeah, that's a benefit. That's one of the benefits from it. But the real reason is to get the cosmic energy that's in the trace mineral. So we, you know, make a long story short, the Earth is bombarded by cosmic rays. The cosmic rays shoot through the Earth in a nanosecond. They are absorbed by trace minerals. Different trace minerals absorb different forms of cosmic rays. And the cosmic rays emit a cosmic an energy, which can be measured. We absorb that energy, and we use that energy. Our body uses. So in essence, we are cosmic beings. And this is going on, in essence, throughout the history of mankind, the history of everything on the planet, everything else, are constantly being bombarded by these cosmic rays. And that's why we eat the trace minerals. Real reason why we eat the trace minerals. And a tree, for example, a tree is a perfect antenna for the cosmic rays. The roots are in the ground, it's grounded. You have this big giant branch thing, big giant antenna. When a cosmic ray shoots through it, the trace minerals in the tree absorb the trace minerals. You see? And the insects can see that. There are different color range for the trace minerals and stuff. That's one reason why the insect can say that tree is sick, because it's a different color to them. Anyway, we are probably going to have to take off soon, and I'll be back here next week. You know, for Don't Panic, It's Organic. Feel free to contact me any way you want to. My podcast is anywhere you get your podcast, right? Just sign up for it. And coming up next, after here, I'm going to do my Cosmic Spaceship, which is basically letting you know what songs I have currently written that week. If you want to hear any of my songs, and I don't talk to it, I don't interrupt my songs. If anything, I should tell you the name of the song. Okay. Of course, you can get the podcast for that right here on bbsradio.com or on my website, invisiblegardener.com. And so if you have any questions, now's your time to sign up for the newsletter. You can sign up for the newsletter, click on Enter Me in a Contest. You'll automatically get a free lifetime membership. You might win my printed version of the book and my grower's kit. I'll send you that. Next month, I'm probably going to be doing, so Don't Panic, It's Organic mugs. I have a little something in my brain that says 1 minute, like a little computer. I feel like Spock. No, Data. I cannot do that. What's the name of that show? Anyway, so I'll be back next week. A whole new show for August. I haven't the faintest idea what I'm going to be talking about, so why don't you tune in and find out, right? Probably may have to do more with compost. I like to talk more about compost, more about rock dust, answering people's questions. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on that people are emailing me about, you know, so I'm going to try to get a little show together for you there. So thank you very much for listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic. And I'm going to go ahead and do it while this song is on now. Take care now.